Let's turn for our reading tonight to John's Gospel again, to chapter 4. John's Gospel, chapter 4. We began to read the story of the woman of Samaria. We're going to break into the reading at verse 7 tonight in John's Gospel, chapter 4. The Lord Jesus Christ has come, and he's sitting at Sychar's well. Verse 7 says, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Amen. We'll end the reading here at the end of verse 26, and we know God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Last Sunday night we had been looking at this lady called the woman at the well. Having spoken with Nicodemus and having left John the Baptist in confrontation with the Jews concerning the nature of his ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ left Judea and he was making his way to Galilee, where he was to meet this woman at Sychar's well. Unlike Nicodemus, who was a man of the Pharisees and a very significant man in society, this woman is an unnamed woman, and she's very different in character from Nicodemus. She was a despised sinner living in adultery, and yet we see the Savior of sinners seeking her out. She would be converted that day, even though it was the last thing on her mind at that particular time. We noted how that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to her. And as he spoke to her, he spoke about living water. She had come with a physical need, and the Lord Jesus Christ was waiting and willing to meet her deep spiritual needs. I want to return to the story again tonight because there are still some things that we do well to note of great importance regarding this woman at the well. I want you to note with me tonight, as this woman and the Lord Jesus Christ are in conversation, I want you to note first of all the revelation of her sin. When Jesus began to talk to this woman, it seems to me that there is a natural progression of events. He takes her along in stages so that she can understand everything that he has to say to her. He makes her aware of the living water that's available to satisfy her hungry soul. He makes her aware of her own life and her lifestyle so that she might understand her deep spiritual need. Now, as he makes her aware of that need, he reveals her sin to her. And there are two things that are worth grasping. The first thing I note is the awareness of the Savior. When this woman began to show an interest in the living water that the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking about, all of a sudden she continues in conversation, and then the Lord Jesus says to her, "Go call your husband." Immediately the woman replied that she had no husband. And Jesus told her that she already had 5 husbands, and that now she is living with a man who was not her husband at all. This woman was living in open sin, and she must have known that. After all, she had come to the well at that particular time. She didn't think that anybody was going to be there waiting, but she was surprised to see the Lord Jesus Christ there, and even more surprised that he should ever enter into conversation with her. But the interesting thing is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ knew all about her, and he knew all about her sin. Because there's absolutely nothing that can be hid from him. Isn't it interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ had been in Judea? He's now making his way into Galilee. He has come through Samaria. He has never met this woman before. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ knew everything there was to know about her. Of course, that's not the first time that we read of this in John's Gospel. When Nathanael approached the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus knew him through and through. When Nicodemus came to speak to Jesus and to ask him questions, the Lord Jesus Christ knew all about him. You see, Jesus Christ knows what is in the heart of every man and woman. He knew about the 5 husbands that this woman had had, and he knows about the man she's living with. He knows about her lifestyle, and he knows why she's at the well at that particular time. He's aware of every detail in her life because Jesus Christ knows this woman, and he knows her through and through. And if I could pause there for a moment, I would like to remind you that whoever you are and whatever your circumstances, the Lord Jesus Christ knows everything about you too. Sometimes there are things about each one of us and things in our lives that others know absolutely nothing about. Some of us are good at covering up what we're facing. Some of us are good at covering up how we feel. Some of us can cover over our circumstances, no matter how difficult and dark and discouraging they might be. And the problem is that people never know, therefore, how we feel or what we're facing. But there's someone tonight who knows every detail about your life and mine. There's someone tonight who knows everything about your situation and everything about mine. Friend, listen. He knows your name. He knows your nature. He knows everything about you. He knows about your life tonight, and he knows about your lifestyle. He knows every detail there is to know about you. And the Lord Jesus Christ sees things about you tonight and things about me that nobody else knows anything about. He knows your open sins. And he sees your secret sins. There's absolutely nothing can be hid from his gaze. As far as you've come into the meeting, the truth is that your life is just like an open book. before the Lord Jesus Christ. And as far as your sin is concerned, and as far as my sin is concerned, there is no hiding place. I note the awareness of the Savior. He knew all about her. But I note also the attitude of the sinner. This woman was living in adultery, but she was avoiding reality. This woman had been caught out by the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew everything about her, but she is not prepared to own up. When Jesus told her to go and get her husband, she said she had none. Well, in a sense that was true, because the man she was living with wasn't her husband. But the point of the matter is that she didn't come clean. Jesus Christ had to tell her that before this man she was living with had come along, there already had been 5 husbands in this woman's life. She didn't know that Jesus knew all about her, and therefore she sought to avoid the issue. She pretended to be something she was not. She avoided the issue, and she sought to cover over her sin. And here's another problem. If you and I feel that we can hide anything from the gaze of Him, I say again, as far as your sin and mine's concerned, there is no hiding place. We can attempt to cover it over. We can try to be something that we're not. We can try to throw a cloak over ourselves that people cannot see through. But as far as sin is concerned, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. This woman needed to face some important truths if her life was going to be changed. She was living in sin, and that sin had ruined her life. She was a laughing stock in the town where she lived, and that's why she'd come at the well at that time of the day, in the heat of the day, so that nobody would be there. She wouldn't have to talk with anyone. She was a sinner, and now the Lord Jesus Christ is seeking to bring her to the place where she will confront her sin and let Him deal with it once and for all. And that's what you and I need to do if we're ever going to have God's salvation. We need to come clean about our sin. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to realize that we have a spiritual disease, this disease called sin. And there's nothing that I can do to help you, and there's nothing that anyone can do to help you if you won't acknowledge tonight that you are a sinner, that this is a problem that needs to be dealt with, and that only the Lord Jesus Christ can deal with it for you. The hymn writer says, guilty, vile, and helpless we. And in that little statement, he just sums up for us the total of humanity. Every one of us, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, separated from God, bound for a Christless eternity. All of us, without exception. Now this gospel that we bring to you is a gospel of good news. But it's only good news for those who realize that they have a need. It's only good news for those who recognize that they're far from God and bound for that awful eternity. And one of the great problems is this, that so many people today just won't accept the fact, and they won't acknowledge it, that they have a sin problem and that their sin separates them from God. This gospel is meaningless for you if you will not accept your true condition in the sight of a holy God. This gospel is good medicine for the sin-sick soul, but it's only for those who recognize they have a deep spiritual need. I don't want to offend you, but I have to be honest with you. If you're sitting in the meeting just now, you're not a Christian. Whether or not you've ever thought about Christian things before, if you're sitting in the meeting tonight and you're not yet saved, you need to come to terms with how God sees you. You need to come to terms with this problem of sin, and you've got to face it sooner rather than later. You are lost and ruined. You're separated from God and under His condemnation. That sin of yours will never be dealt with and never removed until you accept that fact and you come in repentance and in faith and you tell God that you're sorry for your sin. You cast yourself upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and you trust Him as your very own Savior. I know we always like to see the best in ourselves, even if we like to see the worst in others. But tonight without Christ, we really do need to see the worst in ourselves. We need to see what we are without Christ. We need to see where we're heading without Christ. We need to see where we're going to be in eternity without Christ. We need to realize that we're lost and undone. Because until we do, we'll never see a need of God's salvation and we'll never see the need of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. This woman sought to cover over her sin when Jesus spoke to her about her husband. She didn't have one. No, she didn't. She had five. And she's now living with a man. And Jesus exposes her for all that was going on in her life that she might realize her need of Him. But I know not just the revelation of her sin. I note also the revelation of her self-satisfaction. When Jesus revealed her sin to her, instead of acknowledging her sin and her shame, she begins to debate the issue with the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, she starts to talk about worship. She starts to talk about her religion, and she seeks to defend herself in the light of the Savior's revelation. Look at what we read in verse 19 and 20. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She felt satisfied with herself, despite her sin. She felt that she was all right the way she was, but she was to learn something different. You'll note that Christ exposes her false security. She began to talk about how the Jews and the Samaritans worshipped. As far as true worship of God was concerned, she wondered about where she must go to worship and what she should do. She thought that since her forefathers had worshipped in their own place and in their own way, that was all right for her. She was implying that such was her background and such was her tradition, she had every bit as much good in her life as the Jews. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to her very poignantly, He says, ye worship whom ye know not. He exposed her sense of false security. He explained to her the need and the nature of true worship. And you know, if the Lord Jesus Christ was amongst us today, he'd have to do the same thing to so many people who are living in our day and in our generation. I'm talking about those people who have their own religion. They feel that they don't need anything more than that. People who are going to their own church and keeping their own ordinances and doing things their own way. They may be sincere in what they believe, but they're sincerely wrong. One night out on the doors in conversation with a lady, we were talking together about everything, and I got to the stage where I started to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation. And she turned around, she said to me, I hope you're not going to talk to me about my sin. Well, I said, I'm glad that at least you realize, like me, that you're a sinner. She says, I'm no sinner. And I said, what makes you think that? And she went on to give me a long list of things that she'd obviously rehearsed in her mind with others who'd been in the doors before me. And she started off with herself and her family. And she went on to her church and went on to her ordinances, went on to prayer, went on to all these different things. And she says, are you trying to tell me that I'm doing all of that and I'm not going to heaven? And I said, yes, that's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. That you could be doing all of that and far more and still not be going to heaven. That's a reality. There are so many people who think because they're affiliated to a certain church, it's enough to get them into heaven. They believe tonight because of their background, because of what has happened to them, whether they've been Christian, confirmed, taken the Lord's Supper, or done one of these things, they're all right the way they are. And they think that somehow religion is guarantee of a place in heaven, even though many of them don't even darken the door of a church from week to week. Well, those who believe like that are on dangerous ground. The truth is that religion's not enough. You say to me, but how can you say that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ said it. When Nicodemus came to him in John chapter 3, a man we've already looked at, he was a man whose life was steeped in religion, a ruler of the Jews, a man who was high up in society, the kind of man people came to in order to find help for all their spiritual problems. You would have thought if that man's religion was enough, the conversation would have ended there. Jesus would have patted him on the back and said to this man, Nicodemus, listen, your character and conduct, it's impeccable. Jesus didn't say that. He simply turned around and said to him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. His religion was not enough as far as Christ was concerned. He needed more than that. And I say this very lovingly and reverently. Being a Baptist, a Presbyterian, going to this church or any other church is not what you and I need for heaven. We need more than our name and a church roll. We need far more than occasionally offering a lip service to God. We need God's salvation. And we can only have that through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll never be in heaven on the basis of anything we've done, commendable though it might be. We can only be in heaven on the basis of what Christ has done for us on the cross at Calvary. We need a living, personal, saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because apart from that, and apart from Him, we will be lost eternally. This woman was exposed because she sought to hide under a cloak of religion. Jesus put her right. In reality, she's living under a false security, and He exposes her false security. But you'll note that Christ explains faithful worship. For here's what He says in verse 24. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Maybe tonight you are a Christian, you need to be reminded about this. And I use that term Christian very carefully. Having a relationship with God is not based on a religion that is a matter of outward rituals and ceremonies. Having a relationship with God is based on a saving faith in Jesus Christ. It has to do with an attitude of heart and life that is right before God. And that's why the Lord Jesus goes on here to explain to this woman what true worship is all about. It's not just a matter of going through the motions with God. It's not just a matter of observing certain rituals. It's a spiritual exercise. And only those who are born of the Spirit can worship God in spirit and in truth. And this woman had to be made aware of that. She had to be made aware of what she was, how it could change, and what it was that God expected from her. I have a great fear tonight, and perhaps a feeling that there are some who say that they are Christians who profess faith in Jesus Christ, and that's merely what it is. A mere profession of faith in Christ. Oh, they know so much about Christian things and how Christians ought to live, and their lives are full of outward rituals and ceremonies. But there's nothing in the heart. There's no active, vibrant relationship with God. Their attitude of heart and life is not right. And Jesus says that it must be right if we're going to worship God in spirit and in truth. Tell me tonight, if you're not a Christian, are you depending on a church, a creed, something that happened in your life years and years ago, some connection with a church or a minister or a Christian in your family, and that's what you're depending on solely as far as eternity's concerned? You need to think again. I remember sitting in a meeting one night and I wasn't even saved at all. And the preacher turned around and said this, and I laughed my head off until I realized he was talking about me. He turned around and said, if you're going to heaven on the basis that your name is on a church roll, it might as well be in a sausage roll. And I sat and I thought that was hilarious, until I realized that's all I had. That's all I had. A churchianity. Every Sunday sitting in the pew, taking the place with the rest of the family in our own pew, able to recite prayers, but never knowing anything of the living Christ of God. The Lord Jesus Christ had to explain to this lady, having exposed her false security, of what it was that God demanded by way of worship and by way of a right attitude both of heart and life. The revelation of her sin, the revelation of her self-satisfaction, but note most importantly here the revelation of her Savior. Jesus concludes this conversation with the woman by telling her openly that he is the Savior of the world. In verse 25-26 we read, the woman said unto him, I know the Messiah comes, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Despite her background and her sin of adultery, and the sin and the shame and degradation that marked this woman's life, she had obviously heard about the Messiah and he was to come, and now she begins to put two and two together. And as she weighs up all of these things that Jesus Christ has said to her, he then reveals himself to her as the only Savior for sinners. He was Israel's Messiah. He was the one whom the prophets had spoke about. He was the one expected to come. He was the one who was in her midst, and the one who would come to bring deliverance and salvation to people just like her, living in the depth of sin and shame, and so aware of what they were that they couldn't even face the people that she lived with. Jesus says, I am the very one that you're speaking about. And I'm the one that has come to bring deliverance to men and women just like you, living in sin and in shame. I'm the one who can set you free. If the exposing of her sin had brought her under conviction, and if her self-satisfaction had led to confusion, there's no doubt that the revelation of the Savior had brought conversion. Because we are told that these things dramatically changed this woman's life. She left her water pot. She ran back to the very town where she was so despised and where she lived amongst the people that she was ashamed to meet. She went to tell that very people of all that Christ had done for her. And here's what she said, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" She trusted him. She is now in the city. She's sharing her newfound faith, and she's encouraging others to come and to meet Christ that they might experience the same deliverance as she did. I'm sure she didn't pen the words, but she could have that day. As she skipped back into town and came out with the people behind her, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart." That's what made all the difference in this woman's life. It wasn't religion. It wasn't the tradition of her fathers. It was to do with the fact that Christ had come into the world to save sinners just like her. Do you know the good news of the gospel? The Lord Jesus Christ has come into the world to save sinners just like you and me too. You might not be a woman who's been taken in adultery. You might be, for all I know. I don't know that. But the point of the matter is that whether we're man or woman, the sin problem still remains. And we can try to bury it, cover it over, forget about it, put it out of sight and put it out of mind. Yet it doesn't alter what we are in the sight of a holy God. It's a problem. And it remains a problem until it's dealt with. And the only way it can be dealt with is by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ with all our sin and with all our shame and laying it down at the foot of the old rugged cross, believing that Christ died for our sins and that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from every sin. You say to me, every sin? Yes, every sin. Doesn't matter what you are tonight in the sight of God. Doesn't matter who you are as you sit in this meeting. Doesn't matter what you've done, and I don't need to know, because the reality is that Christ already knows, and this isn't about you and me. This is about you and Him. And since He already knows, there's nothing going to shock Him. Since He already knows, this is a tremendous opportunity for you to come, just as you are, and to come right now, and to find deliverance, and to embrace salvation in the one who has died for sinners like you and me at the cross. What a woman this is. Jesus offered her something that was spiritual and eternal when she'd come concerned only about the temporal. But in order to enjoy what Jesus wanted to give her, she had to acknowledge her sin and she had to accept the Savior. And you and I will have to do the same. You can speak to me about how good you are, what your life is like, what your background has been, what your family history is, what church you attended. You can go on and tell me all of those things, and good though they are, they're not good enough. I put this as simply as I can. Every single one of us are vile, sinful, separated from God, and on our way out into a Christless eternity. But Christ has died for our sins, made it possible whereby you and I can be saved from that sin and cleansed once and for all and forever. If you accept your place as a sinner in God's sight, Acknowledge the fact that Christ has died that you might live, and you embrace God's salvation in him. You could go home just like this woman at the well, with a transformed life, and every sin, no matter what that sin might be, every sin cleansed through him who shed his own precious blood, that every spot and stain might be made fully whole. You might say to me tonight, Pastor, but if I'm going to become a Christian and I come to talk to you about salvation, does that mean I'll have to tell you about my sin and my shame? Let me tell you something. You'll not tell me anything I haven't heard before. And you'll not tell me anything I haven't seen in this old heart of mine. But more importantly, Christ knows and Christ sees. And this is about you and him. So why don't you deal with the sin problem and deal with it now, and come and receive Christ as your Savior. If he can transform this woman taken in adultery, there's not a man, woman, or young person tonight that he can't touch and change. The problem is, do you believe it? Let's bow together for a moment in prayer. Let's just take a look inside these hearts of ours afresh. If God tonight has exposed to you what you really are through his word, don't go home with the burden of sin and shame weighing you down. Come unto Christ and leave your burden at the foot of that old rugged cross. Father, we thank you tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. We pray that you'll help us to see ourselves as we really are, to grasp what we so desperately need, and reminds us that it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ, who's waiting and willing to save each one of us, whatever the sin and degradation that marks our lives just now. We thank you that there's cleansing and healing for all who are washed in the blood of Christ. So our Father, speak to our hearts. Cause us tonight to seek after him who is the only Savior for sinners. For our good and for your glory alone we pray. Amen.